Hello, Fresh Life. My name is Bruce, and I am your campus pastor in Great Falls, Montana. I bring greetings to all of you from them. They love you so much, and shout out to them today. So glad to be here. So thankful to be with you. Thank you all for being here and being with us. And today, I just wanted to again say to Pastor Levi, to Pastor Jenny, our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers are with you. We love you so much. Thank you for always, always being such a good model of how to live out our faith through every season and circumstance of life. So we love you guys. We're thinking about you today. We're praying for you. So today I thought we would pick up where we left off last week. You guys can have a seat, by the way. Pick up where we left off. Jesus is alive. He is risen. And man, that means so much for us because he set us free to live a new life. Everything that he did. And I just kind of want us to let that sink in for just a minute. One of my favorite passages of scripture about what Jesus has done and the new life that he has for us comes in Colossians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 9, he says this, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything on heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled, made you right to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you, hear this, these are amazing words. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." You ever felt like that? Man, this is the word of God. This is truth. This is what Jesus did for us. The courtroom drama is over. We stood there full of sin, and Jesus stepped in right at the moment where the gavel was coming down and the judge said, "You are guilty." And Jesus said, "Yes, but I'm going to pay the price. You pour your judgment out on me. I'm going to pay the price so that my people who will believe in me and every single one of us who have taken the opportunity that Christ offers us to give our lives to him, we have been set free." Amen. The price has been paid. And in our freedom is also this moment where, yes, we have this done deal. The courtroom is done. But now Jesus invites us into the hospital where the justification for our sin that took place in the courtroom can be replaced by our healing. And we have this cool word called sanctification. The rest of our life, we move into this healing process with Jesus. It is an invitation into a life in him. And my fear, why I stand here today with trembling legs a little bit, is because I am afraid we're gonna miss it. And I don't want anyone to miss out on the life that God invites us into. That would be a shame. And so today we're gonna talk about this process. And by the way, I just wanna say no judgment here. We all were born broken into a broken world. And the way we learned to live life was in our own terms. To protect ourselves, right? Anybody who's raised children, you know, first word might be mama and dada, but soon it's followed by feed me, change me, Why did you have a brother? I did not want that. I'm not sharing with him. And then we grow up and it becomes a more adult version of mine, 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 right? We come by this honestly. And so Jesus understands that. That's why this is what we call a process of sanctification. And we need this healing in our heart. So where does this hospital healing begin? Let's start with the word all. Mark 12. People have been questioning Jesus about a lot of things. And one guy actually stood up and asked the right question. What's the most important commandment? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I feel like Jesus was being pretty clear here. He said, love me with everything you have. And by the way, just so you understand, there's only one God. Anything else you would turn to is just false. There's only one God. And so you should love God with everything you have. He's quoting what God had revealed to Moses way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Listen up and worship the one true God with everything you have. And that's what we need to do today. As we come to him for our healing, we need to start with the word all. But I feel like, as clear as Jesus was, we've started renegotiating the meaning of the word all. All means when I feel like it. All can mean when I can see the benefit of it for me. ROI, right? All means when I want to. All means when I'm not otherwise engaged. And I kind of feel like, in the words of Inigo Montoya, you keep using that word, it does not mean what you think it means, right? All means all. That's the title of my message today. All means all. Let's pray. Father God, we want to listen to you in these moments we have together. So, Father, that you can do in us everything you want to do. We surrender all to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want you to understand that in this command to love God with all is also that invitation from Jesus to experience life in Christ, to find everything that he has for us there. And it starts with all. The first point I want to make today is that all means altars. Some things in our life have to go. You look at all through the Old Testament, the stories of the kings of Judah especially, you read about these things, and all over the place it says, and this king, particular, fill in the blank, did what was right in the Lord's eyes, but. That's a big but. And I don't like big butts, and I cannot lie. All right, right? I mean, come on. We don't want this but in our life. But they had it. It says that they did what was right in the Lord's eyes, but not the way that King David had, because they withheld part of their heart from God. And that caused them to do some things that should have never been done, that were never intended. They built altars and shrines to false gods. They carved idols and they set these places up. And if you can imagine the hillsides, the way it's described, it's like in every hill, in every high place, they had these altars and shrines, and it led the people into worship of false gods. Many times they would be worshiping God, but they also had these altars to go to as well. It's like a fallback plan, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Anytime we have a fallback plan, we will not give God everything. We don't need these places. And here's what I've learned to see. We were doing our prayer and fasting thing over the past month. How special was that? So incredible. It was during that time that God just began to show me all these places in my own life, you know, where I gave my life to Christ and I was following him, but I didn't do the work of going through and tearing down all those old altars. They got built up naturally. Remember, this is a no judgment zone. We learn to live life in our own terms and through self-indulgence, self-preservation, times when we were hurt and we were angry, when we were insecure, we built up these altars in our life, places we could go to where we could find comfort. Sometimes that was in another person. Sometimes it was in an addictive behavior. Sometimes it was just me, myself, and I pulling away from everything else. And these altars got built in my life. And even when I gave my life for Christ, those altars didn't necessarily just disappear. My dad used to tell me all the time, if something's broken and you didn't fix it, even if it starts working again, it's still broken, right? So we have this moment where we have to go through and start tearing down these altars. And so that's what I want to challenge us to do today, is take a moment to look in and say, God, where am I turning to these other things? Anything that we look to that's not God can be an altar in our life. And some things have got to go. In order for us to love God with all, everything we have, let him examine you as you pray today, as you worship today, so that he can reveal these places. And we want to be like Josiah. Josiah was amazing. You read his story at the end of All the Kings, and Josiah didn't have a big but in his story. Josiah had an and. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he followed after the ways of his father David. That's what we want in our life. We want an and, so that we go through. And he went on a campaign. He went all around the land, tearing down the altars, burning the shrines, chopping down the Asherah poles, burning the idols, even burning the bones of those who served in these places, in those places. I'll let you read into that. They killed a few people, right? But they did it so that the people's worship would not be corrupted by these false places, these altars. So some things have to go. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only place that I want there to be worship taking place in my life. See, once all the altars are removed, there was just the temple in Jerusalem. Once all the altars are removed in your life, it's what God made you into when Jesus justified you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit who has come to live inside of you. That's a pretty amazing thing. And for you and me, that's the one place of worship that we need so that God can pull us into the life that he has for us. But all not only means altars, all also means attachment. Some things have to go, some things have to change. Not everything that we love is a bad thing. In fact, we've been commanded to love some things. My wife's sitting right down there. I'm supposed to love her, right? This means yes. You guys can say that, right? I should. You'd be on my side in this one, right? We're commanded to love one another. We're commanded to love our enemies. We should love the things of God. What does James say in 1:17? He says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. So there are things in our lives that we love, we enjoy, and it's a good thing for us to love them. The problem comes in is when we love them directly. So today I want to talk through how do we change the way we love the things that we're supposed to love so that we are loving God with all. Because I get the idea, you know, you think we're finite human beings. We only have so much love to give, right? That's why we feel exhausted at the end of a day. As we've gone through and we've loved this and that and this person and we, you know, we've stood in the gap for these people. We've prayed hard for these people. And it takes an emotional, mental, even a physical toll on our body. And we need to learn how to love things differently. In other words, Jim Wilder in his book, Renovated, talks about how our brain works. And part of the way our brain works is that we form attachments to the things that we love. And everything that we attach our lives to is going to have some sort of pull on us, right? And if you can imagine me being attached to my family over here, attached to my job, I think I should love my job. I think I should love the things that God has blessed me with. I love being in the outdoors. I love going hiking. I love going fishing. Fish love me because they avoid me at all costs, right? You know, but I love these things, and they're not bad things. I'm not talking about anything that's bad. But when I'm attached to them directly, the best they can get is the best that I have. Even my family. You know, I want to love my wife, but if I'm just trying to love her in my own strength, boy, I'm going to fall short some days. I'm going to let her down. And so I need to learn how to love God with all. Otherwise, with all of these attachments in my life, I feel almost suspended, like my feet aren't even touching the ground because I'm being pulled this way, I'm being pulled that way. And what do I have left over for God? That is certainly not loving God with all. And so if I can learn, we say it all the time, but it's so hard to translate into how do you really do this? Put God first, right? We want to put God first in our life. And when we put God first, that means that I am going to love him with all. So if I'm attached to my wife and I'm attached to my hobbies and I'm attached to things that I love, I'm going to actually detach there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not stopping loving my wife, okay? We're clear on this. But I'm going to take the attachment love that I have for her, and I'm going to attach it to God alone. He is going to be the one that I love with everything. And guess what happens to my love for her? It gets better. Because I am loving God with my whole heart. And now the things that I would have seen through my human eyes, I see through his eyes. And I see her the way he sees her. I love her the way he loves her. My perspective changes. You know, we talk all the time about how things in our life can get out of balance. Anybody here love sports? Dang it. Right? He said it. We get out of balance with our work life relationship. You know, we love our job and we see what we need to do to provide for our family, how God has provided that for us. But if I'm loving those things, it gets way out of whack. But if I can love God first, it changes everything. My relationships at work are different. The way I see things where I used to would be completely mad at what was going on, mad at situations, frustrated with my team that's not winning the way they're supposed to win. No, I can enjoy that. In fact, my joy gets increased as I love God wholeheartedly. It is so amazing the way that happens. One guy that didn't really get it as we read through scripture was the rich young ruler. You know, he came to Jesus asking all the right questions. How can I have eternal life? They talked about the commandments. And he's like, dude, I do these things. I'm on the right track, right? And Jesus said, love me. All of the things that your life is tied up in is in your wealth and in your possessions. If you'll go sell those things, and come back and follow me, then you're going to have the life that you're looking for. And the rich young ruler walked away sad. He totally missed the fact that God could have blessed him with those things anyway if he would only just love him first. And not look to those things and not find his life and his hope and his joy in those things. He could have come to Jesus that day. Aren't you heartbroken over this man who could have said yes to Jesus, gotten rid of those things, and then walked in this life with God? And then who knows? He obviously was good at being in charge of many things. And God could have entrusted him with those things. But he wouldn't have been finding his life there because he was looking for life even though he had all those things. Dallas Willard says it this way: you must arrange your days so that you are experiencing deep contentment, joy, and confidence in your everyday life with God. How do we arrange our days? Well, some things have got to go. And then we need to change the way we love the things that we're supposed to love so that we are attaching our love to God and letting His love be reflected back through us so that we're finding deep contentment, joy, and confidence in our walk with God. So, all means altars, all means attachment, and lastly, all means acceptance. Some things need to be embraced by us. Have you ever felt like a square peg in a world full of round holes? Man, that is the story of my life. I really have felt that way a lot. When I was a kid, I felt that way. For some reason, I don't know, I just didn't feel like I ever fit in. And honestly, if the Satan's gonna beat me up today, I sort of start feeling that way too. That I just don't fit in. It's a hard place to be in when you feel like a square peg living in a world full of round holes. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. If we're gonna have the life that Jesus wants us to have, sometimes we're gonna feel like a square peg in a world full of round holes. Because He's calling us to live differently. Think about it. If I go and deal with these places in my heart that I am no longer worshiping at these false altars, that's gonna make me different than people around me. And if I start loving God first and foremost above all things, then that's gonna set me apart. My life is going to be on a different path. So I say we need to embrace the idea that we are called by God to be square pegs in a world full of round holes. And we want to help as many people as possible find the life of a square peg, right? That's what we're here for. That's what God wants to change in our lives. When we get hung up on what people think about us and we start trying to find our identity in anything other than who God made us to be, that's why it hurts to feel like we don't fit in. That's why going through life can be a struggle sometimes. When we're just all caught up in the wrong things, trying to get out of being different because that's who God has called us to be, and we want to look just like people around us. I know that was my temptation as a kid, but I gave my life to Christ early, and praise God for that. I thank my mom, who's probably watching today, that she took me to church, that I had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and give my life to Him at a young age. But what that meant was, early on, I stepped into not fitting in. And I had a lot of friends who just totally didn't get it. Why are you such a Jesus freak? Why do you not do these things? Can you not just go out with us and let go a little bit, have a little fun? You know, I thought I was a pretty fun guy. But no, I wasn't going to participate in all those things because I felt like God was calling me into something different. I had a different purpose, a different motive. And when we follow Christ with all and we love Him with everything we have, what matters to Him most matters to us most. And that is going to call us out to live differently from those around us, to live differently from the world. And probably the hardest step at this point is accepting that, embracing that, and walking fully into that, both eyes open, heart open wide. This is part of the healing process, right? We feel the way we do because we grew up in a world that was broken. And the hardness of walking with Jesus and walking in new life, you know, sometimes we sit around and we cheer about it and we say, man, walking with God, it's the most important thing and it shouldn't be hard. But we all know the truth, right? It is hard when the people right next to you don't understand you, can't see what you see, can't feel what you feel. Most of the time, they can't even understand that the reason you feel the way you do is you're heartbroken over them. Because you want them to have a relationship with Jesus. You want everybody to experience what you have experienced in your life with God. Being a square peg in a round hole world is not something new. In fact, Jeremiah is a guy who even in scripture said, okay, maybe he didn't say these exact words, I'm a square peg in a round hole world, but he did say this. Jeremiah chapter 20, oh Lord, you misled me and I allowed myself to be misled. You're stronger than I am and you overpowered me. Now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. When I speak, though, the words just burst out. Violence and destruction. These are the prophecies Jeremiah was called to preach, right? Violence and destruction. Judgment is coming. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his words burns in me like a heart set on fire, like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. I can't do it. In other words, I'm embracing this being a square peg in a round hole world. That's what Jeremiah said he was going to do. He stepped into it fully. A few verses down, you read in there, Jeremiah realized that the Lord was standing next to him like a strong warrior. When we accept the life that Jesus offers us, the fullness of that, we love him with all that we are. Yes, sometimes it's going to make us feel different, like a square peg in a round hole world, but we are never alone. God does not abandon us there. He stands beside us like a strong warrior. When we are weak, he is strong. He is with us every step of the way. We find our true identity in who he made us to be. Guys, that's huge in a world that's constantly asking, who am I? What am I supposed to do? We must find what life in Christ is. We accepted him as our Savior. He did the work in the courtroom to set us free. Will we let him do the work in our hearts, in the hospital, to open us up, to get rid of all of that infection that has grown in us over the course of our life so that we can accept who he says we are, who we are in Christ. Your identity is in him. What does he say about you? You are a child of the King of Kings. Our lives have value, meaning, and purpose because of him and his purpose in this world. He invites us further on to be a part of the same ministry that he had when he was here so that people could be made right with God. That's purpose. That's meaning. That's value in life. God is so good. I was struggling with all of this one day during my quiet time, about being a square peg in a round hole world. It's really struggling. And God directed me so beautifully to these verses in Revelation. When all things are made new, there's a new heaven, there's a new earth, and a new Jerusalem comes down from the sky to come here on earth. This is what God said. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates and its walls. And when he measured it, he found it was a square. It was as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. My forever home is a frickin' cube. Come on, come on. This is true for me, it's true for you. We may be square pegs in a world full of round holes, but this ain't our forever home. our forever home is with him in this city that he has made for us. Guys, please don't miss this. If I could ask anything of you, it's for you to love God the way he loves you. Jesus gave everything for you. He went all in for you. And for him, all means all. And that's all he's asking of us. He went all in for us. Can we go all in for him? Can we embrace the idea of being a square peg that was made for a square kingdom? We can do this together. What does it look like if we go all in for Christ? First of all, Paul said it very well. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Everything that I used to think was of value to me, I consider it all trash compared to knowing Jesus. There's nothing more important ever. We start applying this to our lives. It's going to come out in several different ways. All means all. Let me ask you this. Are you in a small group? Fresh Life group? Because if all means all and you're going to love God with all your heart, you need to be surrounded by some other square pegs, right? We need this in our life. Are you serving on a team? God made you for more than just sitting here. God made you to be able to use your gifting. And I promise you this, you will come more alive when you are walking and serving alongside Jesus, doing whatever it is. Guys, and you don't have to do things that are seen. You can be on the welcome team. You can make coffee. Man, praise God for the people who make coffee. Amen. Right? Get in a Fresh Life group. Join a team. Participate in outreach. We have people who are boots on the ground all over our city, all around the world. Whatever opportunity God puts in front of us, let's be all in. If I love God with everything, then by all means, I'm going to love the things that he loves, and he loves lost people. And he wants us to get out there and serve and do things in such a way that we demonstrate God's love for them. So let's be involved in outreach. Kyle said it beautifully earlier, generosity. Do you give? All means all. And God can bless us in so many different ways, but he never blesses us just for us. He blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. And he wants to grow generosity in our heart. So as we love him with everything, generosity is a part of that. And then, how do you feel about sharing your faith? You know, we are a church that invites people. We love inviting people. But not all the work of God happens on Sunday. There are people in your life that if you'll just say yes to God, Lord, I love you with everything, but I'm so nervous. I love you with everything. God's strength can enable you to share your story with somebody else, to tell them simply how they can be made right with God, be reconciled to him so that, just like you and me, Jesus can have them stand before God, holy and blameless, without a single fault. Pray with me. Father, we love you so much. Help us love you more. We often sing the words to the song, more of you, and we're crying out because we're desperate. We want more of you. But I wonder how often you say those same words back to us. My child, I just want more of you. Stop loving these other things the way you love them and just love me. If you're here today and you're saying, man, this hits me. I want to get this right. I want to love God with everything, but there probably are some altars in my life that I've never taken the time to tear them down. There's still backup plans for me. I want to invite you during this moment, right where you are, if you need to come forward and kneel here, just declare over your life, there's going to be one place of worship in my heart. And that is the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells within me. Maybe you just need to say, God, help me learn how to love things differently. I just want to give to you in this moment. I want to give all my love to you. I want to attach myself to you alone, God. And I want to embrace the life that you have for me. And some of you are sitting here today and you have never taken that first step. The courtroom drama feels very real to you. And Jesus is saying, look, I paid the price for you. I want you to have life in me. Will you give your life to me? Today can be that day. There's no reason to wait. Jesus wants you to know him. He wants to offer you the same invitation he offers every single one of us, not only just to be saved, but to have life in him. And if that's you today, all you have to do is just say, Jesus, this is what I want. We often pray a prayer here together, and we can do that. There's nothing magical in the words. It's simply just surrendering our heart to God, saying yes to God. And so as I pray this prayer, pray that with me to just say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. Church, pray it with me. Dear Jesus, I need you. You love me. You want me to have life in you. I give you my life. I surrender all so that I can have life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate with those who just made that decision.